The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kim, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm your chair for this meeting. This is a welcome to the Fresh FM meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous On Air. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The topic for this meeting is Step 6, was entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character. Rob, could I ask you to share, please?
Yeah, thank you. My name is Rob, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Rob.
I say I'm an alcoholic because I am 32 years since my last drink. However, if I did not have the support of the Fellowship of AA, I would return to where I was 32 years ago very quickly, I believe. And where I was 32 years ago was sitting on a park bench, staring into nothingness. And no friends, isolated, lonely, scared, fearful, and lost. I'd become somebody that was no longer functioning in any way whatsoever, and my life just simply revolved around alcohol. So why am I here today? I'm here today because 90 years ago, two men called Bob and Bill met, and they first talked openly and honestly about their problems with alcohol, with their demise as people, with their losses of marriages, of money, of finances, and eventually loss of themselves. And those two people started this fellowship. And as a result of that, there are now meetings all around the world. No matter where you go, you will find a meeting of men and women that are like-minded, that have recovered from alcoholism to the extent of as long as they maintain daily the using the 12 steps of AA, and that has now spread throughout the world. So I'm here 90 years later, and I'm alive as a result of two men's honesty. And I now sit in this room with a group of people that know me intimately, have heard me talk over the years about all my problems and all my joys, my successes, my failures, and all the things that have happened in my life and not caused me to pick up a drink and destroy all the wondrous things that have happened in my life in the last 32 years. And I have built myself from somebody that was full of, I dislike the word defects intensely, however, that's what the step says. I would rather call it shortcomings. But I was riddled with them and in complete denial that I had such things. I just thought I was a guy down on his luck, had a terrible lot of bad luck. And I didn't understand that underneath that bad luck, there was a common denominator, and it came in a bottle. And it was alcohol. And in my early days, it started off as quality alcohol, good quality wine, 12-year-old malt whiskies, drinking in wonderful places in London, Ritz, Dorchester, fancy restaurants and so on and so forth. And in the end, it became cheap plonk. It didn't matter what it was as long as I got absolutely rat-faced and didn't feel anything. And that was my demise. I went from, yep, the high to the low. And could I have got any lower? Yes, I could. The next step would have been a wet brain. The next step would have been a high stepper. And the next step would have been death. And I wasn't far from that by the time I'd finished my drinking. But I found myself into the Fellowship of AA, and I found like-minded people that felt like me, talked like me, had been where I'd been, had felt the fear, felt the loneliness, and felt the inability to stop drinking without help. And I've been blessed, and I do believe that. I reject the word God. It's a higher power. It's a God of my understanding. And that is very important in the fellowship. We all have gods of our understanding. And many have absolutely no concept of any God, yet still work the 12 steps and still get sober and remain in their sobriety and die sober, having had good and happy lives, families that have been reunited, jobs, houses, mortgages, all the things that normal people have, going out fishing with the kids, good, healthy, normal lives. And for me, coming from a place of a park bench, unable to say my name, staring aimlessly at people walking past, happy, joyful people with prams laughing. It was a sad place sitting on that bench with a cheap bottle of plonk. And today I'm one of those people that walk through the park laughing with my grandkids and go on holidays, and I have a very, very good life as a result of a fellowship of men and women called Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's enough from me. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
You're listening to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on air. If you want more information or help to stop drinking, please call 0800 229 6757 or go to the website aa.org.nz.
Frances, can I ask you to share, please?
Certainly. Thanks, Kim. Hi, everyone. My name is Frances and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Frances.
Hi, lovely to be with you all here this morning. Step six talks about defects of character, which sounds pretty grim, really. I didn't really understand any of that when I first came in, and nor did I have to, because there's five steps beforehand. But just a little bit about my journey. I kind of did a good 20 years drinking, starting when I was 18, and I drank to get drunk right from the get-go. And one could say I had maybe 10 years good drinking, but you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and when I came in broken to Alcoholics Anonymous, a little bit like the previous speaker, I still had a roof over my head, one-bedroom council flat at the time in Wellington, trying to make a cask of wine last more than a day. And it was hell, but I was not a stranger to a park bench and a quart of vodka if I could afford it. Looking at other people wandering past, I sometimes sat in Cuba Mall watching people at 10 o'clock in the morning, wondering how they did life. How were they drunk just now? Had they had any alcohol for breakfast? You know, where were they going? What were they doing? I was so disconnected from how to live a normal life in the end, because I was a 24/7, and if my eyes were open, I was drinking drunk. That's where my alcoholism took me, which is, since coming into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've learned is pretty normal. It's a progressive disease. It gets worse. It never gets better. And that was my experience. So, you know, I look back within a couple of years, I'd just about driven my car off a cliff. I was having blackouts, which means I'd wake up in the morning and remember up to about maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening, but I'd got home at 4 o'clock, so in the morning, so there was a lot more that went on that I had no clue of what I got up to. But I laughed that stuff off. I thought it was hysterical. I didn't quite make it over the cliff. And then I was there the next day laughing as I got my car towed off a cliff. So, you know, I'm from a family where you shake a tree and an alcoholic will fall out the family tree. So, yeah, I think I was probably born with it, but it doesn't really matter. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous because I was hopeless. I just had run out of ideas. I just didn't know how to make it change, and I really felt things were going to get worse, and I had it in my mind that I'd become homeless, and I just didn't want to do homeless. Yeah, and what a blessing that was, because I learned what it meant to be an alcoholic. I learned what was wrong with me, and I was given a solution, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I got what we call a sponsor, which was someone that had done those steps, been in the rooms a while, and could guide me through it. You know, and wow, hand on heart, this program works. I have a few years up now as a sober member, and I went from that being 100% totally isolated. I had no contact with another human being, to where I am now. Also 10 years unemployable, and I've got more than one job now. I have my license back. I own a legal car. I have friends. My family are back in my life. It really truly is wonderful, and I don't fight my way through every day trying not to pick up a drink. Through working the steps, the desire to drink was taken from me. So, you know, and in step four, you know, we do a moral inventory, and it sounds pretty grim and awful. And step five, I talk about this with my sponsor. And when it came to step six, I was aware of some of my thinking, some of my motives and my actions upon the world that just weren't serving me. They just were making me resentful and angry and self-pitying and a lot of things that would ultimately lead me back to picking up a drink, because I was not comfortable in the world. I was not comfortable being me. So when I learned of these things through the first five steps and I got to step six, yes, I was entirely ready to have these removed. Yes, I wanted to be a different person. I really did. So I've since learned that, you know, we often talk in here about it being a daily program. Every day I have to consider these things. Every day I have to be willing to work on certain aspects of my character that are not ideal or that cause me to come into conflict with others and leave me feeling less than ideal, let's say. But this is a program of spiritual growth, of growth of me as a human being, and it's a wonderful challenge. I have learnt how to do life in these rooms after years of just drinking to get through another day. So, you know, anyone listening out there who's having a problem with drinking, I strongly encourage you to get in contact with us here at AA. We kind of know what we're talking about when it comes to alcoholism. And like I say, I hand on heart, I came in here very broken, you know, over 20 years of drinking, 10 years being unemployable, and totally detached from life and not knowing how to live, to most days a pretty happy chick, useful in the world, and all my family and friends around me. So I'll leave it there, Kim. Thanks for asking me to share.
Thanks, Francis.
You're listening to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on air. If you want further information on Alcoholics Anonymous or to find out about AA meetings around the country, please go to aa.org.nz.
Hi, Reza. Would you like to share, please?
Thanks, Kim. Hi, I'm Reza. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Reza.
Like the previous speaker was saying, thank goodness, you know, I had to take the first five steps before I actually got to this point in my recovery. Because when I came in through the doors of AA, I didn't think I had any shortcomings. In fact, I hadn't even, or defects of character. In fact, I hadn't even heard that term, you know. So, you know, surprise, surprise. But I did eventually get to this point, got to the point of the fourth step we talk about in recovery. We talk about doing an inventory and then talking to somebody else in the fifth step about these things, and pop, voila, you know, there they were, you know, defects of character. And looking back, you know, when I was drinking, you know, I wasn't a very pleasant person to be around. You know, I just wasn't. I mean, you only had to ask my children or my family, you know, what it was like to be around me, and they would give you a really good, accurate a summary of what Reza was like, you know. Sadly, you know, my children growing up were afraid of me, and I was quite surprised when I came into recovery to find that out, you know. And when I did my sixth step, well, when I did my fifth step, I realised, you know, that, yeah, most of my life was about my control around other people. You know, I was raised in a family of alcoholics. I mean, we talk about alcoholism being a family disease, and it was definitely the case in my family. I come from a very large family, and you know, and I learned things, you know, that a way of being that was you know, dysfunctional, to say the least. You know, it was part of being an alcoholic, you know. So I was short-tempered, I was intolerant, I didn't know what empathy was, never alone compassion. In fact, you know, I used to laugh at tragedy, you know, tragic things. You know, I'd sit in the rooms of recovery in the early days, and someone would say something tragic, and I'd be the only one laughing, and I'm thinking, hello, and I'd look around, you know. So it was a pretty good insight into where my head was during those days. But, you know, I don't have to be like that today, thank God, you know. I am a lot more empathetic. I am compassionate, and Lord knows, you know, I've had plenty of opportunities to grow in this program. And it's been mentioned before, you know, we talk about recovery being a spiritual program, you know. I've had to learn to be, you know, more compassionate and empathetic with others and less judgmental, you know, because I judged myself harshly, therefore I judged others to the same extent that I judged myself, you know, very harshly, you know. As I came to understand myself through this whole process, I began to, you know, judge myself less, feel a lot more, you know, empathy for myself, you know, until I could do that for me. I couldn't really offer it to other people, you know, especially my family and my children. and my darling, you know, they've given me many opportunities to grow through this program and still continue, you know. And I love them unconditionally, you know. They talk about, you know, learning to love other people unconditionally, you know. I've had that opportunity, and my children are my greatest students, you know, my greatest teachers, I should say, you know, because not only, you know, I needed to learn a lot. So I don't scream and yell at them today, you know. I don't go off my rocker. I'm able to deal with life on life's terms without all the backlog of emotions that used to dominate every conversation, you know. And, you know, I've often been termed a fighter, you know, a fighter in recovery, you know. And Yeah, that was me. You know, fight everything, you know, have to win, have to be, you know, have to assert myself, you know. Thank God I don't have to do that today, and that makes for better relationships with people. It really does, you know. You know, neighbours, whoever it is, you know, it's like I can be respectful, polite, you know, speak to them, you know, consolingly. And because I have a lot of understanding of who I am today, therefore I you know, how I'd like to be treated, you know, I treat other people, you know, and so that's one of the, you know, the spiritual principles, one of the spiritual principles embodied in our program. But it certainly makes for a much better lifestyle today for me. I'm happy. I am a happy person, you know. Life around me, you know, people around me, loved ones around me, whom I used to smother with kindness and, you know, in the name of I just want to help, you know, you know, have a life of their own, and I respect that, you know, I respect their lives, you know, and, you know, and I'm there for them, you know, when the door, you know, the door swings both ways, you know. I learned that in this program as well, you know, people loved me regardless of who I was, you know. I came through the doors and they loved me back to, you know, back to health, you know. And it's the first time I've ever experienced that. And it's my heart, you know. I live this program. I take it out into the world. And I was told when I came in here, you know, you be the best example, the big boy anyone has ever seen, you know. So I'm entirely ready. Continue. It's a lifetime journey. It's not a, you know, it's not a destination. It's a lifetime journey. And I'm, you know, every day, you know, I'm entirely ready to have God remove any defect of character that pops up, you know, into my life, you know, and never say never. They say, you know, just say, you know, you're entirely. And it takes honesty and it takes willingness, you know, and that's what I have today. I'm willing to have God remove all these defects of character because I've experienced the joy and the happiness and the freedom that comes from doing that. So, you know, I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic today, and I'm grateful. The best thing I ever did was walk through the doors of AA, you know. I thought it was the worst thing that could have happened, but it wasn't. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Risa.
Drinking causing problems in your work or home life? Call Alcoholics Anonymous on 0800 229 6757 or go to the website aa.org.nz.
Hi, Leslie. Would you like to share, please?
Thank you, Kim. Yes, I'm Leslie and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Leslie.
Nice to see you all here today. Well, my journey's been exciting, difficult, long, but very worthwhile. And just listening to all the others who share is quite lovely, really, because for every person who sat in this chair and has shared today, there's something, always something that I resonate with, you know, a little piece of me. Yes, I did that. Or yes, that was me. And that's how this program works for me. You know, I drank every day for a solid 12 years, and I was on my own with three kids, and they were very young at the time, and alcohol was just my my coping mechanism when anything happened. I mean, it was a drink of alcohol, and it just progressed from there till, you know, I became that daily drinker. To the end of my drinking, I was, first thing my feet hit the floor, I would grab a drink. And I progressed from, you know, the cooking sherry was the first drink I ever took, because it was what I had in the cupboard. And then from there, and it just, you know, I was drinking whiskey from the bottle as soon as I woke up. And life became just, I can't explain it sometimes how bad it was, because it was one drama after another drama, one marriage after another marriage, one failure after another failure. And I never, ever, ever thought it was the alcohol that was the, you know, the initiator or the reason that I was as I was. And it wasn't until I reached a real rock bottom, I had many of them, but the biggest one was, you know, when I was sitting one Friday night on my own, teenage kids by this time, I don't know where they were, and I just got into this space and I just hated the world, hated myself, was so frightened and scared, and I thought I was going to die. And I knew that I'd been trying for about 2 years to sort of not drink so much or just limit my drinking, but I just couldn't do it. It just didn't happen. And yet I seemed to be able to do everything else. I was a functioning alcoholic. I didn't know that at the time, but I had a good job even. And, you know, I still managed to do things. You know, even although it was sitting at work with a bottle of booze under the table, typing, you know, still could do it. I didn't know that if I just didn't have that alcohol, I would be a totally different person, and life could be much better. But the only thing that happened for me was a miracle, because I happened to know the name of a man who had been a very sick alcoholic. I was just told his name. And so the person who told me his name said, he hasn't had a drink for so many years. And he went to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I thought, oh, what's that? What's Alcoholics Anonymous? Well, I'm not an alcoholic. Like, you know, previous sharer said, sitting on a bench in a park or under a bed, living under a bridge. And that wasn't me. So how can I be an alcoholic? But that Friday night when I was on my own and I was crying and I was so unhappy and sad, I called out the window. I was looking out the window. I recall it, and please God help me. I'm going to die if I can't stop drinking. And I remembered that man's name, and that was kind of the miracle, because I looked him up in the phone book and I rang him, and he was, you know, he was the catalyst to get me into this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've been in this fellowship for many years. But in the beginning, I didn't do those 12 steps of recovery like today. I know how important they are. And I know that, you know, those that I sponsor, how important I pass on to them, how important they are. Because I didn't do that. I mean, I was too busy. I was working. I had family. But the miracle for me was just simply, from that one day I went to that meeting, I never had another drink. And I thought, wow, what a miracle. How does that happen? But, you know, but I was still the same person, still the same Leslie. I didn't change, and I still had things happen. Had a new relationship with someone that fell to pieces. I mean, there was different things that occurred, and I never had a drink. But I didn't do the steps because I was busy. I'd go to meetings. I still did meetings, but only minimalistic meetings. And it took me quite a few years before something else happened that was another miracle, really, in my family. One of my children, adult children, put herself into a recovery place, and I was called to go and visit, and I thought, wow, wow, I didn't realise this was a family disease. And but since then, of course, I know it is very much so. Several members of my family are in this fellowship. And, you know, from several years of being in AA, I really thoroughly did the steps. And it wasn't, that was the only thing that changed in all that time, was because I did those steps, and the one we're talking about today especially, is with, you know, going through step 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to step 6. You know, I didn't think I had that many character defects, or, you know, there was other people with more than I had. But I couldn't argue with somebody without really getting stuck into them. And I was always right. They were wrong, you know. And it was just a wonderful way to look inside myself through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and see that, you know, I did have character defects. And the wonderful part about the journey of doing this is that today I'm nothing like the person I used to be when I first came into AA, and that's quite amazing, really. So I love passing that on to others who are newcomers in the fellowship, because if you want to change, and I wanted to, I needed to, because I didn't have great relationships in my family, within my family and others, if I didn't. So, you know, I was willing to do it, willing to try, and it works. It just works. It's that great old saying, you know, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. And that was me, you know, still behaving the same way. Well, still got the same results, and they weren't always great results for sure. But I can't speak more highly enough of the benefits of Alcoholics Anonymous. A woman in the fellowship, she once put a little piece of paper in my hand, and it had three things on it. It was just love self, forgive self, and trust self. And I still have that little piece of paper in my wallet, and I see it occasionally when I look in a certain place, and it always makes me smile, because it's taken me a long time to do those three things, but my God, they certainly work, you know. I never thought I needed to love myself, and I certainly didn't ever think I needed to forgive myself. I knew I had to forgive other people because, you know, they'd harmed me. But then this program and this 12-step program helps us to get through those things, and it helped me to get through those things, because I never ever understood or even believed that resentments would maybe kill me, because the resentment would be so bad I'd probably pick up that drink again. And I was very fearful of that. I thought, wow, I'll never have another drink. But hey, I don't need one, and I've never missed it. And today, especially, there's so many people that don't drink alcohol anyway. So I feel quite fitted into the society of where I am, you know. Doesn't matter if I drink ginger beer or whatever it might be, or water, just plain old water, you know, it doesn't matter. But I've got lots to thank Alcoholics Anonymous for, and especially to know that it's a journey, as someone else said. It's something that, you know, I want to be part of and hang on to and help others to find the same thing I've found. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. I mean, anybody can come through these doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, yeah, gratitude for me today is the number one big thing. I certainly would not be sitting here the age that I am, as healthy and well as I am, if I hadn't come into this fellowship away back then, you know. So, yeah, so I'm very, very grateful, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Leslie.
Can't remember what you did last night or every night? Drinking causing you problems? Call Alcoholics Anonymous on 0800 229 6757 or go to the website aa.org.nz.
Hi Mary, would you like to share please?
Oh, thanks very much, Kim. My name's Mary and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Mary.
Hi Mary.
We're entirely ready to have God remove all our defects of character. Well, I can't say I was. And often, no, not often, but sometimes now I can't say I am either. But as previous speakers have shared, this program through its steps, and they are numbered 1 to 12, and we are to take them in that order, prepares us and teaches us and moulds us and forms us to change. Because, you know, when I came into this program, I was riddled with character defects, as we all were. I would start pouring alcohol down my throat and I wouldn't know what would happen. I wouldn't know whether I'd end up safe alone in my own bed or in some other situation which was dangerous for me to be in and with people that wouldn't be the best people to be mixing with. So when I came here, I was bankrupt physically. I was very unwell. It's people who know me now would find it hard to believe that I was suffering from malnutrition. I had very bleeding gums. My dentist wondered whether he would be able to save my teeth. I had a rash all over my back, which was just kind of a normal part of how I lived then. And it just cleared up very, very quickly. Could start seeing the whites of my eyes again. My complexion improved. My hair wasn't like straw. So, you know, the physical changes happened quite quickly for me. I was emotionally, psychologically, and certainly spiritually bankrupt. I had lost any kind of pretense of a moral compass that I had been, you know, instilled with as I grew up, and I had values that I believed in. Well, they all went under the influence of alcohol. They went out the door. And, you know, I did things as a drunk that I vowed I'd never do, because that's, you know, it's where alcohol took me. And certainly spiritually, I had no spirits, whiskey. That was my main spirit. And I had vowed and declared as a teenager that I'd never darken the door of the church, the faith in which I was brought up. And, you know, I stuck to that promise and thought I was smart. So I had no spirituality. I was spiritually bankrupt when I came in here, and I was certainly financially bankrupt. I had lived overseas. I couldn't afford to bring myself home. And so friends of mine in the country I lived paid for me to come home, and my parents, you know, put me up until I started earning again. And I was a sort of functioning alcoholic. I did get a job back in New Zealand, but I kept drinking for another year. But so when so that's how I was when I came in, and the idea of working the steps seemed, it seemed a very big ask. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. It took me quite a long time to actually believe that. And yet the evidence was abundantly clear. But such is alcoholism. You know, denial is one of the absolute basic precepts of the drinking alcoholic is denial. So I couldn't see that my life really was unmanageable or that I was powerless over alcohol. But in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I slowly came to believe and understand that that was the case. And, you know, because physically my kind of body became better quite quickly, it was clear that something had been, you know, making me crook at a physical level, never mind, you know, emotionally, spiritually. And anyway, with the help of a loving, patient, kind, tolerant sponsor, I slowly went through the steps, and steps 4 and 5 for people who don't know this program at all, maybe listening. In our steps 4 and 5, we're asked to, you know, do a fearless moral inventory, and we're asked to admit to God, to ourselves and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, that's all pretty scary stuff when you come into these rooms, but, you know, you can do it as slowly as is required to keep you well and making progress. And, you know, those steps 4 and 5, you know, do make clear our defects. You know, it's pretty clear when you look back over your life as a drunk, a number of the things that are wrong with you. And so we come to six, which is entirely ready to remove our defects of character. And I was entirely ready to have God remove my grossest defects. And some of those defects were like lying. Well, I just lied constantly. It was easier for a lie to come out of my mouth than the truth. So that was a fairly gross character defect, which was relatively easy to ask, you know, to become entirely ready, because I didn't want to be a liar. I didn't see myself as a liar, but I was a liar. And so that was, you know, that was relatively easy to become entirely ready. Other things, you know, being pretty dodgy around money, being dodgy around other people's money. That was a, you know, it was a fairly gross character defect, which I was entirely ready. I didn't want to be a cheat, and I didn't want to be a thief anymore. And so that was, you know. So some of those grosser character defects were easy to become entirely ready to have, you know, to ask God to remove. Anger. I was pretty hate and rage filled when I came into these rooms. And that hate and rage was directed at, you know, 50% of the population, which wasn't my gender. And that has been, you know, that has been a much harder character defect for me to let go of, or to have removed, or to become entirely ready to have removed. Because, you know, I could look around and find justification for that view everywhere I looked. So that was, you know, I've had to work on that one for quite a long time. And it's, it says in our book, you know, our stories make clear that we were alcoholic, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and God could or would if he, she or it were sought. And for me, I believe that's the case for all of my character defects. You know, alcoholism is a term which encompasses the warping of a lot of our personalities, of all aspects of our personality. So all aspects of our personality need to be healed. And for me, some of those defects have taken much longer to be removed, or if not removed, ameliorated, you know, lessened. I, you know, if we were entirely ready to have all our character defects, well, this is my belief, if we were entirely ready to have all our character defects removed, and they were removed, well, we'd be saints, wouldn't we? We'd be walking around this world as saints. Well, that isn't the case for me or almost everybody I share AA rooms with. You know, we are not perfect. And it tells us, you know, we seek spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. And that has been the case for me in with my character defects. Anger. Yeah, I can still be quick to anger, not as quick as I was, and not as sort of violent and excessive in my response as I used to be. So I'm impatient. I am still impatient. not quite as quick, not quite as reactive as I used to be, but I am still impatient. I can still be critical. I can still be judgmental. The person who wears that mostly is the person who's closest to me in my life, And so I still absolutely need on a daily basis to pray for the willingness to become entirely ready to have my character defects removed, because some of them I quite like, if you know what I mean. They must give me some kind of perverted pleasure because I've kept at them, and there's something about being judgmental that in some warped way must give you a sense of superiority or give me a sense of superiority. That it tells us in AA that we have a daily reprieve from drinking, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And so that it is a daily program. We're told we have one day at a time. We only have to stop drinking for one day at a time. And those one days gradually build to weeks, months, and years. And so I have to, in regards to my character defects, I have to maintain my spiritual condition around them. If I just let them go, well, they come back, And before I know it, I'm harshly judging people. I'm very quick with my tongue. I'm impatient. I want people to do things my way because it's better than your way. And, those character defects come back pretty quickly if I don't stick at trying to do this program on a daily basis. And as Reza said earlier, we have to pray, I have to pray for that willingness. And I'm not so bloody disciplined. We alcoholics are undisciplined, and I am still undisciplined. That's another character defect of mine. I can still be undisciplined and not do that stuff on a daily basis. But I reap the rewards. I reap the results of that if I'm not doing stuff on a daily basis. And I again experience the dis-ease of alcoholism, that because for me, if I'm not doing stuff, what I need to do on a daily basis, the self-centeredness, the self-obsession, the juggernaut of self-will comes back and drives me, and that's just ego. And if I allow that to continue, that juggernaut of self-will will drive me to drink. It may not drive me to drink immediately. It may not, it may take some time for that to happen. But I would, if I don't ask for help to do something about that, that's where it will take me, because that's where it always took me. And we are granted a daily reprieve. We're not cured of alcoholism, I don't believe. The mindset for me anyway is can still be there and can still take be dominant in how I am in the world. And unless I'm doing something about that on a, if not daily basis, pretty regular basis, those defects of character, which were so prevalent in my drinking days, will reappear and will take hold. So for me, I have to keep praying always for the willingness to be entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character. And they're not, as I said, they're not as gross as they used to be. Well, I don't think they are. Some people might think they are. I don't think they are. But, they are absolutely still many of them are still there. And I take comfort in the fact that we seek spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection, because, you know, we are not asked to be saints. We're just asked to be, keep trying, you know, keep being willing. And when I am, my life is better. You know, my way of being in the world is much more comfortable. I have ceased fighting everything and everybody at that moment. Not entirely. I haven't entirely stopped fighting everything and everybody. I will come back to stuff that, if I think it's unjust, I think it's wrong. But the way that I do things is different now. And the way that I, yeah, and that's entirely thanks to this program. And I have to, you know, we don't just walk into the rooms of AA and sit down and get better, you know, just by being there. We have to take action, and we have to, and I have to keep taking action. Even it's a while since I poured alcohol down my throat now, but I still have to keep working to on those character defects and asking for the willingness. And what I do know is that where it tells us in the book, you know, no human power could have relieved our alcoholism and in all its manifestations, and God could if he, she, or it were sought. I absolutely know that to be true because it has worked in my life, and it still works in my life. And when I am humble enough to realise that my ego is taking charge again, my sort of grandiosity and how that manifests, which is often in, you know, like in impatience and in judgment of others. When I am humble enough, A, to realise that, and B, to seek that help, it works. You know, I am relieved. But I'm not relieved forever. You know, I'm relieved on a daily basis. And if I work this program on a daily basis, I reap its rewards, which are many. You know, mostly I live a pretty peaceful, pretty happy, contented and privileged life. I have a very privileged life. And I have a privileged life for lots of reasons. But one of them absolutely is the fact that I was lucky enough to be guided into the rooms of AA when I was at a very low point in my life, and I was given the grace to stay and to reap the long-term rewards that come with sticking around for a while. And those things are all kind of nothing to do with me. They are, I believe, and due to the power of this program and the grace of a higher power that I don't understand, actually. You know, it says in our third step, a God of our own understanding. Well, actually, it's a kind of a God of my misunderstanding. I don't really, it is a bit of a mystery to me. But it works, so I don't feel the need anymore to understand, because I just know it works, and that the life that I have now is it's sort of the interior life. My internal life is so much more peaceful, loving, and than it certainly was when I entered these rooms, and for the first, you know, few years. But I can go back to a place of dis-ease if I don't work this program, and if I do not continually pray for the willingness to be entirely ready to have my character defects removed. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mary.
You're listening to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on air. If you want more information or help to stop drinking, please call 0800 229 6757 or go to the website aa.org.nz.
Louise, would you like to share, please?
Yes, thank you. My name's Louise and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Louise.
And yeah, it's been good just sitting quietly and listening this morning. And, you know, there's things that go through my mind when I'm listening and moral compass and values. I didn't have a nodding acquaintance with what any of those things were, you know, when I was out drinking, nor when I came in for a long time. And, you know, and I certainly didn't know what a defect was, or I didn't know what a principle was. I didn't know how to be honest. I didn't know anything. You know, when I came in, pretty much drinking was about what I knew. And that's what I did on 24/7 by the time I got here. And, you know, and I remember, you know, we heard someone talking about homelessness. And I remember when I first came in and I thought, you know, I was never homeless and never drank on a park bench. And my idea of an alcoholic when I did come in was that, you know, it was a drunk on a park bench. And I was told only 5% reached there. And as time went on, I started to have recall. And near my last sort of time of drinking, you know, I had this job of care work, and I used to walk between people's places and do a bit of housework here and whatever, and never much. I always worked it to how it worked for me. And between that time, I found a park bench, and I used to sit down on that park bench because I'd go through the bottle store at about 10 in the morning, and I'd buy one of those, you know, a couple of those cans of mixed drink. I was in Australia at the time, and they were in a paper bag, and I would look for the park bench. And I would sit on a park bench and drink my drink out of a brown paper bag. And it was like, oh, this is it, you know. And being homeless, I thought, well, I was never homeless because that meant sleeping on the street. But yet most of my time I was living in other people's homes, you know. That's the only reason I wasn't homeless, as in whatever that, you know, living on the street. I had a job at the time in my 20s, you know, and in my 20s I worked in pubs, great place for an alcoholic, and I lived upstairs, even better. And in one pub I had the keys to the bar. That was the best one, you know. So, you know, for me it was okay. It was, yeah, just that drinking. And, you know, I'm incredibly grateful today that I don't drink, that I'm sober today, and it's through the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, today I do have a sort of a moral compass. I'm not always perfect. I love sitting in the room and listening to people share, and I certainly have no desire to go and drink again or to pick up a drink. And that's a miracle. That's the biggest miracle of my life. You know, because I wanted it and I drank it and I thought about it on a 24/7 basis. So just to do that and to be sober today is a blessing. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Louise.
Thank you, everybody. A great meeting. That brings us to the end of this meeting on air, and I appreciate all your sharing. We will now close with three of our 12 traditions and the Serenity Prayer. Tradition 1. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. Tradition 3, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. And Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And if we can close with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.